Well, hello again. Proverbs 27. We'll be there just a brief moment there. And while you're turning there before we pray, speaking of youth, bold youth we have in our church. Brother Jason said, I was just going to drive home and not listen to Brother Sean, and he wouldn't know, that he didn't want to listen to me. But Jared McDonald, he said, man, I forgot my pillow. I was just going to sleep right in church. Like, split second from each other, they both tell me this in the bathroom downstairs. I'm like, man, appreciate the confidence. Anyway, why don't we pray and ask the Lord to bless, and we'll go home. Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for our church. We thank you for, again, our pastor and the families in our church and for the Word of God. And I ask, Lord, that you would help calm my nerves. Help, Lord, help forgive us, Lord Father. Just please, help, as Brother Jacob said, set ourselves aside for a moment here. Give me the words you want me to say and speak tonight. Let it be convicting. Let it be encouraging. Let it be what you designed it to be. And I pray, Lord Father, that those listening or in service tonight, however they're watching tonight, they would see Christ. It's not Brother Weasler I want them to see. It's not about me. I just pray that they would see Christ, and that he's all we need. And we just thank you now and praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Proverbs 27. Most of the time you hear people turn to Proverbs 27, you think verse 1, but I'm not there tonight. I'm a few verses down from that. Look at verse 8. It says this, Proverbs 27:8 says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Can you hear me okay? Sometimes I can't tell. And so we're going to look at be in your place and don't wander from it, basically. Nothing deep in theology tonight. Anybody that's been in my Sunday school or any kind of teaching, anything you ever with me, simple. I keep it simple for me, okay? Whether it benefits you or not, I don't know, but it has to be simple or I get confused and I won't be able to apply it. It has to be super simple. So we're going to be real simple tonight. And when we look at this bird that wanders and the man that wanders, I realize there are times where the bird will have to leave the nest. They got to get food and certain things. I'm not talking about the times when you have to. I'm talking about the times when you're not supposed to and you wander. That's what we're going to look at. I'm focusing on the wander part. That word wander, as defined simply, it means to leave home. Also, in a moral sense, it means to stray or deviate from duty. And then place, as defined, it could be a particular portion of space. Okay? It can be occupied or intended to be occupied by any person or thing. That word place can also mean station in life, your calling, your occupation, your condition. And so with that idea in mind, the application, we're looking at be in your place and don't wander from it, right? Now turn over to Luke chapter 15 real quick. And you know this story if you've been in church even just a short while. It's probably come up. You've heard of it. And we're going to look at the prodigal son. And I want you to think about it in context of a wanderer, right? Of a wanderer. And so we'll just read the account from starting in verse 11 through probably 24. And we'll see how the Lord leads after I get that far. Anyway, verse 11 says this, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So now that's the story of the account of the prodigal son. The account of the prodigal son. Now let's ponder some things about this prodigal son in relation to Proverbs 27:8. When we're looking at Proverbs 27:8, remember again, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Let me ask you something. Where is the nest in your life? Where is your place? Could be several things. I'm going to list a couple things that will probably apply to you. But everybody's different. Everybody's different. Most likely, one of those places that you're not to wander from is your home. Most likely your home. Turn over to Exodus 20:17. And I'm just going to read a few verses. I'm going to let the Bible do some preaching instead of me. But Exodus 20. We're going to look at some verses on the home, right? What does the Bible say about some of these things? Why would I bring this verse up? It was very important. Exodus 20, verse 17, lists the Ten Commandments. And one of them, verse 17, says this, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. If you start to study another's property or house, you might start thinking, I wish I had that. I want that. And you start coveting that. You're beginning to wander in your thoughts, aren't you? So there's a warning about the home. Be careful. You have your own home, right? Turn over to Joshua 24:15. A little bit of exhortation here. Joshua 24. Again, looking at the home as a place, your nest, where God has you to be, wherever that is at that moment, what your home is right now, right? Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a decision involved there to stay God-focused in his life and his family. What are some other verses on the house? Turn over to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Some other teachings on the home. Again, as a bird wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. And just a little bit of introductory here, and then we'll get into some of the points. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, says this, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest where? In thine house. Not only in your house, but It lists the house first. And when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Let me ask you something. If you're not in the house where your family is, can you fulfill this verse, husband, to teach your family if you're not in the house that you're supposed to be? You cannot fulfill that verse completely. You can do the other stuff on the way, in the car, wherever you're at. But the house, to fulfill that verse, you have to be in your house to teach that portion of that verse, to fulfill that verse. You have to be in the house. That's the Word of God. Again, very simple. Looking at, be in your place and don't wander from it, right? And then also, turn over to Proverbs 24. And some wisdom on how to build a house, right? Proverbs 24. We'll speed up here real quick here. I'm not a long-winded preacher. Every now and then I surprise myself and wonder where that came from. But Proverbs 24, verse 3. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant things, or pleasant riches. Just some things on the home. If you're not there, you miss out on those things. If you're there and you're studying outside, you might have a tendency to wander because you're coveting now. You're coveting somebody else's home. All right? So just some thoughts on the home. What's another place? Where could another nest be that you might wander from? Church. All right? Church. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Again, real simple. We're just looking at be in your place and don't wander from it, right? Hebrews chapter 10. Some of you can quote this verse, and you're better than I. I think the older I get, I think my brain cells just got all mixed up. They're all one together now. So I don't trust myself. I have to read it. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And correction, let me start in verse 24 and then read 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Church is very important. If you look at these verses, not only is church for instruction and our spiritual growth, but look at some of the key words in there. To exhort each other to live righteously. Nothing stronger than face-to-face connection. I understand there are times and a place when you need to live stream, can't make it physically to church, but there's nothing that can replace a face-to-face encounter with somebody to where it causes you to consider them. You might be looking at the outside at that moment, and you're like, wow, they look really sick today, really tired. You can't get that through a phone or just from a distance. You have to be face-to-face. It's very important. It's harder to consider another's need if you never see them. Right? I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's certainly a lot harder. When you see them, it helps you to focus on another. Church assembly helps to what? Provoke, it says, each other to love and good works. When Brother Michael comes up here, or Brother Ryan comes up here, or whoever comes up here, and I'm listening to them, I think, wow, what can I do in my life to get some what they have? They're doing some great works, right? I won't get that if I'm not in church, right? It's different. You might see Brother Daniel with this, as we heard testified from Brother Thomas. He wishes every Christian would be like Brother Daniel McGovern. Daniel works with Brother Tim Thomas. He gets to see him day in and day out. Face-to-face encounter. He sees the man for who he is. Right? Church is very important. You know, IRV, we cannot fulfill all the ministries of the church unless we assemble. Right? It's very important. Live stream can only go so far. it does have its limits. And I like a live stream. I said this before. I enjoy the live stream. I sat on a nice comfy couch and watched Pastor preach, right? That was comfortable. But too comfortable for me. And it can hinder my growth, right? So I was glad when we came back because I knew better. I needed to be here. Anyway, you hear what I'm talking about. Church is important. That could be a nest. That could be your place that you might have a tendency to wander from, that we all got to be careful of. Another place, ministry, right? Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Again, as the bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. I just quoted that. You don't understand. I don't quote stuff. So when it comes out, I'm like, yes. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Boy, there's a lot in that list, isn't there? We each have places of ministry to be. We each in this church have a place to serve in order to reach the lost. And look at the list. When we read in there, no one is greater than the other in that list. But we cannot fulfill the ministries without being together. It's key to have them all. All are important. All are important. Again, you wander from ministry, what happens? Things get left undone. Again, we're looking at, be careful not to wander. What could happen if you wander? Again, that was the where. That is the where of just three places where your nest could be, where your place could be. How about this next question? Let's flip it around a little bit. Think about this just a little bit differently by application. We looked at the where. Now, how about what's in the nest? What's in your place? Here's a few things that I thought of. Nourishment. Nourishment is in the place. And I'll use the prodigal son for my scripture reference. We looked at the prodigal son, right? We just looked at that account. He decided to leave home. He wandered from home. And he got to the point where he's desiring to eat what's due to the pigs. He wanted the pigs' food. He was so hungry. He had spent all his money, wasted it all. And then he came to himself and he's like, you know what? At my father's house, where he was supposed to be, he knew he'd at least be served as well as one of the servants. He knew nourishment was there. We leave our place, we lose out on that nourishment we need. Another thing, very close to that nourishment, thinking of the prodigal son again. What also happens to that prodigal son? When he left and he wandered from his place, he got very vulnerable, didn't he? Where were all his friends when he spent his last portion of money? Not there. Not where he was wandering. Some good they were, yet most likely, and I'm embellishing a little bit, maybe exaggerating a little bit, but I know most church families do this when they know they have a son or a daughter that's wandering. They pray, don't they? They're praying for them. Most likely, this prodigal son's dad and family, they were like, oh, Lord, help my son see the end of himself. But you understand, he left the safety and protection of home. And it hindered him greatly. He spent all his money in riotous living. said he was hungry. So hungry he wanted a pig slop. You know, this world talks a wonderful talk. They paint this beautiful picture of peace and unity, and it's so much happier on the other side, isn't it? You know, if I just have this or this or that, if I do this, my life will be complete. I will just be happy. And it's nothing but false built up. False built up. You know, that prodigal found out real quick that life he thought about and wanted the wander to go do, he found out real quick it ends at a certain point. The money dries up. The fun wears off. I'm starving now. This lifestyle is not so much fun anymore. Again, what's in your nest? What's in your place? Could be nourishment. Could be safety and protection. Here's another one that trickles right down with it. We're looking at the prodigal son again. And don't give me, we're almost done. We're almost done. Love. Think about this. Before the prodigal left, while the prodigal son was gone, and after he returned, if you read the reading, if you read that, based on the father's reaction, that love never changed. The love for that prodigal son was there when he was in the home. The love for the prodigal son was there after he was gone. And that love was still there after he returned. How do I know that? Look at his reaction. He welcomed his son back with open arms. Kill the calf. Let's celebrate. My son is home. So now think about this. Despite knowing, after he got to the point where he realized and he came to himself, it wasn't till then that he remembered the love that was back at home. While he was at home planning to wander, do you know what his selfishness did? It blinded him to the love that's right there. He had it already. He didn't have to go live a riotous life, go waste all his substance, just to realize, I'm already loved by my father. What am I doing here? He was blinded. That's what sin does. Sin blinds us, that pride, right? Well, if I just take my father's money, I'll be happy. I get what's owed to me, and I'll go spend it how I want to spend it. I'll be happy. You can wander from your place without ever leaving physically. You can wander from church without one step out the door. How do you do it? You do it inside. You do it through your emotions. You do it mentally. You do it spiritually. You don't even have to leave your place to start wandering. Again, simple message tonight, and I'm already closing. Told you. Real short and sweet. The Lord changes me, I'll be shocked. I've been preaching for a while now, and usually pretty short. In closing, you could be trying hard to be in your proper place at home, maybe proper place at church, family, jobs. And if you feel out of place in those areas, consider, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're trying to do it all in your strength. You're trying to be in the proper place, such as church, family, job, home, all, and the list can grow. The place is basically the will of God, where you're supposed to be. If you still feel out of place in those places, it could mean that you're not saved. Or it could mean that you're fighting God. And you're fighting God. And you're fighting God. And you won't surrender. It comes down to how much do you trust God where He has you right now. I was talking to a brother in our church, Brother Matt, I think it was, this weekend. How much do you trust God? And trust is tied to your contentment, people. We were teaching about that in Sunday school. If you don't trust God, you will never be content with what He's doing in your life or where He has you. That's a tough one to swallow because life's not always fun. You know, like, God, why would you do that? Why would you send me to Alaska? Why would you make us wait this long for whatever? You know, God, why would you take my family member? Why? Everyone's got their own whatever, what, why that you've asked God. And it comes down to how much do you trust Him? A lot of us get to the first rung and we go, yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need to be saved, Christian. And we get there and then we don't want to trust God for anything else in our life. Nothing else. I'll trust Him for my salvation, but I'll take everything else and I'll do it myself. And then we're miserable because we won't give Him over the rest of everything. I'm not saying it's easy. It's a daily battle. When you wake up, got to give it over to God again. When you wake up, got to give it over to God again. Whatever comes that day. I'll close with this little testimony. And I'll brag on a few people. Some of them you know. Do you know if there were certain key people that weren't in their place, Brother Sean wouldn't be here right now. What do I mean by that? So let's see. I got here in 2004. March 2004, I landed in Anchorage, Alaska. I was in the Air Force, just got back from Korea, getting ready to start my tour here in Alaska. I get through a couple weeks on-the-job training, I think. I haven't actually done an actual day of work yet. I get to my first duty station, first post on base. It's the beginning of April. I think it was the very first day on the job. I get posted with a very, very outspoken man by the name of Eric Paul. Some of you that have been in this church for a long time recognize his name. Basically, he's a faithful brother in Christ who is not afraid of anybody to witness to anybody. I'm a lost man at that point. He's just drilling me. And he's a finance guy. I'm military police. Why is he working military police? Because God put him there. He wasn't supposed to be there, but he was there. He was an augmentee. We needed more people to work cop duty. There he was. He didn't even want to be a cop, but there he was. I'm posted with him. He's teaching me about the post, and he just witnesses to me for 12 hours from Bible, where you need to go to church, why aren't you in church, and this, that, and the other. You need to throw that Bible away. That one's junk. And I'm just like, whoa. I mean, he's just giving me a truck full, right? But at that time in my life, I was seeking. He didn't know this. But I watched the Twin Towers fall. I knew something. I knew there was something out there, right? And he was right there to tell me about a God who loves me. Anyway, he was a man of his word. He said, hey, I'll take you to church if you want to come to church. He picked me up the next service. Next thing you know, I darkened the doors of Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage in April of 04. I'm a little slow, remember? I'm simple-minded. Fast forward a year, I finally get saved. But anyway, I get saved. I thought I was saved there for a while. But anyway, May 8, 2005, I get saved. You know what happens on that day? I'm in church, been attending church for a little while. Pastor Roach is preaching in the book of Jude. He is in his place. Again, Eric Paul was in his place. Guess who was in his place? Pastor Roach. Preaching the Word of God. Straight and narrow. Preaching like he always does. And he preached in the book of Jude for it seemed like a month. Anyway, that night I couldn't leave the church. Everyone left. I could not physically leave the church. I was in torment. So I was like, am I saved? Am I not saved? I don't know. You know who's still here? And he still does this today? Brother Lowe. He's cleaning the church. He's in his place. He sees me wandering around like an idiot, wondering what I'm here. What are you? Hey, Brother Strong, what are you doing here? I don't know. Well, come over here and let's talk. He sits me down in the Sunday school room. I tell him what's going on in my heart. He said, well, I don't know what happened before, but I know if you accept Christ tonight, you'll know you're saved. I said, that sounds like a great idea. So I said, let me say it. See, last time that I thought I got saved, somebody else said it, and it was just, the memory wasn't very clear for me. This time I did it for myself, not what somebody else was. I knew what I needed to do, right? So I might have been saved years ago, you know, like a year or two prior to that. But anyway, regardless, I made sure of it that night. Another key person in my life was where he was supposed to be. And then I can name other names all along the way, too. Brother Butler's one. I would have probably never married Krista had he not mentioned a name. I only knew of one Sykes daughter. Her name was Shana, and she was married. He says, hey, when are you going to get married? You know, as he does, very pointedly ask you a blank question, expecting an answer right there. Love you. Anyway, no one is my age in this church. I just, there's no one here. Well, what about Krista? She just turned 21. Who's that? So I start praying for a girl named Krista. Didn't even know who she was. I had to have somebody point her out to me. Kind of happens when you're deploying and you're coming back and things get garbled and you can't figure out who's who. I think I called Brother Milicic Ninilchik one time. He's like, no, brother. No. That's not it. Whatever. But you get my point. I hope what I said makes some sense tonight. You need to be in your place. There may be somebody depending on you to be in your place. They seek comfort and strength from your faith. Right? Now, if God, moves you, then that's your new place. That's where you're supposed to go. Brother Ryan, Mrs. Conley, when you guys get ready to go, unless he changes before then, which hopefully he does. Anyway, Wainwright, that's going to be your new place. That's home now, once you get there. Anyway, I hope what I said makes some sense tonight. Brother Jacobs, where are you? I'm not a very good closer, so if you would come up and get ready to close the service for us, why don't we pray and then I'll turn it over. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for you being a great God to us, that you can take someone like me, anybody, and you can save them. And you can change her life. And you can do great things because of you. It's not because of what we do. And I ask now that you please continue the rest of the service. For those that don't know you as Savior, boy, they have a chance. They have opportunity to come to this altar and accept you as I did May 8, 2005. We have people here that can show them, Lord, help encourage them to come down to this altar. And if they're too afraid, help them to come to me or another man or a lady in this church if they have questions. And we'll gladly show them in the Bible how they can know that they are saved. And Lord, we just love you. Thank you now. Bless us and keep us safe as we go our separate ways tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. We've heard Brother Sean preach. God spoke to your heart. Make a decision. And it's a tough thing to do. Brother, we laid it out there pretty simple. If God's speaking to your heart about salvation, please don't put that off. There's folks up here that'll talk to you. I'll talk to you. If God's dealing with you in salvation, please don't delay that. And if God's dealt with you in a manner of you got to get something cleaned up in your life, make that decision. It's going to be hard, but make that decision for God. Mitch, why don't you lead us in the song? If God's dealt with your heart, please come up.
And let's all stand and we'll sing page 483, I'll Live.